Hello. Excellent. You can all hear me. Right. With no further ado, we're running into a time, so let's go. Round of applause, please. And we're going to talk about... Well, we don't really need tension wrenches. Anyway.
Yes, does it work? Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Rob. I'm going to give a quick presentation about lockpicking in the media and how it's often depicted. This is basically some of the highlights what we're going to try and touch on today. Does Leven der Andere, or The Lives of Others, I think it's called in American cinema, what does it have in common with Transformers, the movie? Things that made no sense at all in a movie on a lockpicking basis, things that should have made sense but didn't, how lock sport or lockpicking can also be a no-contact sport, and finally, I'll try and close off with the most effective lockpicking technique as demonstrated by Meister Leslie Newton. So we'll get to it. This is basically how we got to the talk. I'm not sure if anyone of you know the two hackers, one keyboard fragment. Is there anyone that doesn't know it? I have it. We can actually play it right now. We're going to play it then. This is the series NCIS, which is basically like a serialized CSI kind of series about a military CSI team. Oh god, the Windows Media Player. I don't think this is working right now. Please tell me we have some sensible media player.
Right click, open with.
Main screen turn on, please. It is there. Okay, luckily.
No way. I'm being hacked. No, this is major. We've already turned in NCIS public terms.
Well, I should have known it and dump them on the other side of the
room. I'm trying, it can be that. I can't. The point is that he or she is only going after my
team. It's not possible. Dealing with your online encryption would take months to get better.
So, okay, this is about the kind of bullshit we're dealing with right now. So this is similar how it feels seeing lockpicking in a series or a movie. Like this felt for you, often it feels that way for me. And lockpicking is sort of used as a plot device. It's either a hidden skill, like a character always had it, and when they get locked into the safe, he knows how to open it and save the day. Or it's used as like a momentum thing. The Star Trek transporter, they didn't actually think of having transporters in Star Trek at all. But they found out they didn't have the budget for moon landings. So instead of, or for landings, like landing the ship and stuff like that. So they basically said, well, we'll do like a teleporting beam and it will be quick and easy. Sometimes lockpicking is used as a skill to get from one scene to the other. Like instead of having the warrant and the whole thing, they'll just lockpick the door and they're into the bad guy's house or whatever. Or it's used as like a quirky characteristic to like, you want to make a character more interesting than he or she actually is. You just make them a lockpicker. And sometimes there's actually a larger plot element, and that's mostly in heist movies or Sometimes my reaction to lockpicking movies is sort of like this. I might nitpick on things. I might see that they're doing things and that's like nonsensical. And maybe I'm just being a bit anal about it. But more often, lockpicking movies is sort of like this. I don't know if you know the Gary Larson strip, but yeah. So let's start with what is lockpicking actually, and how does it work? The nuts and bolts of lockpicking, or actually the cylinder pins, tension wrench, and the lockpick itself. So we try and imitate a lock. We try and imitate a key into the lock with tools that are not actually keys. So we use a tensioner for rotating the plug in the cylinder, and we apply some slight torque to it. So we imitate the rotation of somebody opening the door, actually. And we use the pin for actually manipulating the individual pins in the lock. So we sort of do it reverse. We try and rotate the lock and then try and unlock it instead of what a key normally does, unlock it and then turn the door open. So this is how a key basically works. The key gets inserted, it sorts the pins out, they're aligned, and the plug and the key plugs and the pins can be rotated. This is how it looks when you insert the wrong key. It's upside down, but don't mind. You can actually see once the pins is sort of misaligned. So that single red piece sticking out at the bottom will block the whole piece from moving. I think we already saw this one. Yeah, something is off with the order, sorry. So why lockpicking actually works is because they're not all aligned. Yeah. They're not all aligned. So you have like what it should be in theory. All the holes where like the pins fall into should be on the same line, but instead they're sort of misaligned. So when you start turning it, and remember we kind of reverse the order, instead of all blocking at the same time, they all block one at a time instead. So you can manipulate individual pins instead of having to manipulate all of them at the same time. This is like a quick course. If you want to know more, go to the lockpicking guild. Teach you everything about it. One slight cultural difference, for instance, which is interesting, the left is a picture of an European lock, and on the right is a picture of an American lock. For some reason, American lock companies mostly mount the keys, the cylinders, reverse, so the key with the bidding actually points up. I have no idea why this is, but this is some kind of thing that grew in such a way. So the orientation of pins and the pin stack and the springs is actually different in a European and an American lock. But let's get to it. Yep. So, often, oh no, goddammit. We should have made it default. So sometimes the character finds itself into like a gnarly situation. This guy is locked up in a safe, but he remembers he went with his suit to the dry cleaner. So he has like a small body pin attached to like the back of his, or a safety pin attached to like the back of his suit. But even if he thought this wasn't easy enough for him, he's just gonna start and bend it. The bad guy comes over and also hands him like a pin. So, yeah. And you see, actually, in the series, he managed to open it. I don't think it's bent properly enough, but let's assume that this is convincing for us. And you see that it's usually used as sort of a plot device. The protagonist gets caught, gets put into handcuffs, gets locked up. Let's see. Sometimes it gets used to make a character more quirky. So this guy suddenly knows everything about lockpicking, and he has like a lockpick gun, and he'll actually show how to use it. Do note, he doesn't even enter the tool at all into the lock. This is like... Okay, well... And sometimes they even show some techniques pretty nicely. This is Jason Statham seducing some, I think it's a bank employee or something like that. And he actually makes a key duplication of a key. And this is actually a sort of kit you can buy like this. It has the whole like impressioning material, and it has like a sort of like a easily meltable plastic you can pour into the key to make a copy. This was actually a telling job, and they have a lot of interesting shots in there. They also have this shot where somebody's actually practicing to open a safe, and they provide a back view of the mechanic of the safe via a camera, which is something that a safe cracker would do. I mean, normally you wouldn't see it when you're cracking a safe, but if you're practicing, you can actually take that moment, open up the lock, and look how it's actually working. So, and what they did in the movie, they actually translated it to the viewer. So instead of having this shot where they open up the lock, they said, well, we'll just give her like a screen with like a camera pointed at the back, so the viewer can... Yeah?
Safe, and he went into the room behind the safe, drilled through the back wall, drilled through the back of the safe, put a scope through to the change hole and a wireless camera, and then stood in front of the safe with a screen and dialed the combination.
That's the first time I've heard it. So they drilled through like the back wall of the building or something like that?
Drilled through the wall that was up against.
That's beautiful.
The fact he could drill in a straight line, that would be more than anything. Straight through the back of the safe to do just that.
Yeah. This is nice. This is where they sort of find like a middle ground between realism and they sort of want to show what they're doing without breaking immersion as much. So they use the camera, and this is actually the first time I heard of a camera being used in such a way to open a safe without like drilling and doing the whole scoping thing. She's actually practicing to do like the manipulation of the dial to safe. Later on, they actually have like the safe, and they she has to manipulate it on feeling. And you understand? Yeah. So they sort of are in a bind. Like it's the wrong safe. It's not the safe that somebody said it would be, and the glass plate in front broke. So there's like a brittle glass plate in front that can reel up. So they have like a glass plate in front of the safe that if you start drilling it and you do it wrong, it actually cracks. So she starts drilling the safe, hoping that they wouldn't crack the plate and it would actually be possible to scope it and look at the lock or even open it. And this is the point where they basically said like, shit, I hit the glass plate. This is nice. They really researched their materials and they really looked at what are the risks of opening a safe, drilling a safe, and so now she's sort of like, oh damn, we have to do it the hard way. I have to actually like manipulate the whole safe itself. Let's see if I can skip ahead a bit. And this is a bridge, but definitely taking notes of dialing a safe, you get some little feedback. It's a really valid technique. You just note the high and the lows when you're manipulating it, and in the end, you hope to come out with a number. Well, we'll just skip this. It's going to be more dialing. And this is nice. This actually shows that they either had somebody who knew what they were doing or had some outside expert flown in. Let's see. This is person of interest. That hurt. That was actually a bump key. So this is bumping a lock is pretty doable. But if you see what he actually uses to bump the key with, that's his phone. Well, okay, he plays a multimillionaire in the series, so maybe he can afford to do it this way. But it's nice because in the series they actually have they hire an apartment in the same building, so they have access to the blank they use or to a similar key they use in the building, and they actually use that key to make a bunk key. So because the only thing you need to make a bunk key is a similar key that already fits in like the profile of the keyway. So this is nice. They actually. I should have shown this one earlier. He actually explains how it works. And there's actually another movie that did a pretty nice sequence on it. I'll try and skip. Maybe I'll skip through it because it's pretty long, but it's one of the best depiction of bunky lockpicking I've seen in the movie so far. So he's visiting. I actually haven't seen this movie, to be really honest. I've just seen the sequence. I think his wife is in jail and he's sort of like down on his luck. So he researches how he can get to the floor where his wife is being held. And actually turns to YouTube, which is plausible. And he actually gets like a tutorial on how to make a bump key. And he tries it out in home first. So he takes one of his own house keys, files it down to make the bump key. And he actually, like, he practices at home. I mean, makes perfect sense. So now he goes about acquiring the blank he needs, because he needs the blank that fits on the lift key. And this is one of the buildings that has the similar kind of elevator, so he kind of sneaks into like the maintenance office and steals the maintenance key of the elevator, but for a different elevator, but he knows it's the same blank, so he can modify it to make the bump key for the elevator he actually wants access to. And we'll stop at this phase at that moment. This is also realistic. A bump key is a key cut down to the utmost depth. It's really weak. You should be careful using it. He actually breaks off the damn key in the lock, and later on they will actually find out. So this is funny. It's realistic in the sense that it's lockpicking is not foolproof. If you lockpick a door, it can horribly fail. You can spend like hours on a single lock. If you try one of the bypasses, it can actually break the lock. And this is an important thing to actually take into account. This is actually one of the better depiction of lockpicking in a movie. Most of you have probably seen this movie, Terminator 2. She's locked up in a psychiatric ward, and she managed to slip like a paperclip before she was being like put back into her bed and like being restrained, and she actually uses the lock itself, or like the lock case, to bend the paperclip. And she's not a second too late, actually. Let's get out of it. And here she uses the same paperclip to actually like open the door as well. But as you'll see, when she's opening her room door, she doesn't just use the paperclip to manipulate the pins, but she also uses a second piece to do the turning motion in it. So she effectively has both a tensioner and the lock pick. And that's where most movies go wrong. They either show one or no tools at all. And when looking up how they actually came to depicting it as realistic as they did, it turns out that they actually locked the lock she was in while filming it. So in order for the scene to succeed, she actually had to lockpick the locks before they could finish the scene. So that's an interesting way of doing it. Okay, let's go and see. Okay. So I told about Das Leben der Andere. What does it have in common with Transformers? Listen closely. Basically, a lockpick gun is like a percussive instrument. You give like a hit on the pins and hope that they separate enough to actually allow you to open the bolt. I'll try and show it through the... I think we have an animation of this. Yep. You can actually see that the lockpick gun will hit the pins. The force will actually translate through the pins, and it will actually separate the pins on the shear line. So it allows you to, if you turn it at this exact moment, it will actually allow you to open a lock. This makes the snapping noise. Imagine how an electric one that does it several times a second sound. It doesn't sound like a transformer, I can tell you that. It sounds like a dentist doing his work. But what is interesting is that in that movie, they actually have him. Yeah, it's sort of. I'll skip it up for a second. They actually have him lockpick with like two tools and do the whole thing. It doesn't look that realistic-ish as well, but at least they researched it properly enough to make a sort of. Okay. I'm not doing anything with the sound. Is that okay? So,
that's the camera.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay. One thing they do manage to display properly is how much lockpickers lock tools. And
there might be something I can do.
This is pretty much indicative of a lockpicker's toolkit. It has several and all tools, and most of the time you only need two of them. Okay, I'll try and finish this. There's a lot more clips, we have a lot more videos. This is from the movie Shaft, where they actually have to do like a, how do you call it, like a warrant with excessive force, I don't know. Yeah, but they have some name for it when they go in full blazing.
No knock
warrant, exactly. Lockpicker guy, it's your turn. I have no idea what he's doing. I don't know that device. I don't think it has anything to do with... Is it actually something? Seriously? It actually exists.
Yeah, yeah. You can buy a kit that spreads the door, but the first thing that comes out of the box is a massive pad with a disclaimer written on it that you make the customer sign to say, when you use it, it will shatter your door. You are aware that your door will be knocked down when you use
it. I honestly thought it was something they got out of the back of the boot of their car, which is used for like changing tires or something.
Is actually, this is without a doubt the best way to open or get into someone's house in lockpicking. So, I'll give a quick shout out to Skylar Town. He's a lockpicker from America, and a while ago he posted a question on Twitter: does anyone have any clips of lockpicking in movies where it goes either horribly right or horribly wrong? Can you give me the names of the series, the movie, and some kind of timestamp where it happens? So I posed the same question to you. I've put a link on there. It should redirect to the spreadsheet. I'll try and put it online somewhere else later. If you see something posted there, and we'll try and compile like a list of movie goofs and stuff like that. I was Rob, and thank you for listening. Yes. Do we have time for questions, or should we?
I think we've got time for one, maybe two questions. We've only got about 3 minutes, so only actual questions, not more of a comment, less of a question, really. So hands up if you've got an actual question that's under 140 characters. Right, I have scared off all the questions. I'm sorry about that. So anyway, another thank you to our fantastic speaker. Yeah.